know the artist behind the epic melodies, songs, and beats. Celebrating the best new music from around the world. This is the Estate of Trance Podcast.
Hey, what's up? My name is Ruben Onne and welcome to a new Estate of Trance podcast with in the studio today, Steve Decay.
Hey, man. How are you doing?
I'm good. It's good to have you here in the studio, finally. We met each other just a few weeks ago for the first time in Colombia, actually. And Now you're here in my country, the other way around. There's a lot to talk about. What we always do in the podcast is we go back into the history of you as a producer and as a DJ. We talk over, let's say, some of the most pinnacle moments that happened in your career, which made sure that you're where you are now. Yes. So, and I also have some questions for the fans.
Okay, perfect.
So let's start at the start, because the first question I always ask everyone that's coming here in the studio, what ignited the flame in you to start listening to dance music and also started making music?
Okay, I'm a big fan of rock music, so I wanted to make a big change in my life listening to music. So the first track I listened to was a track by Armin, The Sound of Goodbye. Mm-hmm. And then I fell in love with trance music about the parts, leads, vocals. So
do you still remember hearing it for the first time?
Yes.
Where was it? And when? When and where?
My home.
Yeah.
My home. And it was watching a TV series from Mexico about electronic dance music. And it was Universal Religion 3, I guess.
Okay.
And then I started to find some music by Armin van Buuren, also Paul Mathai, because he's my big inspiration about music, of course. And to make music, I started in 2012.
Yeah.
From scratch, watching tutorials, reading forums, and
so before 2012, you were just listening to dance music, trance music the whole time.
Yes.
And what made you decide that you were like, okay, now I want to start making music as well, besides listening to it?
Okay, when I was younger, my question was how they make music, and how they play it.
Yeah.
So I found they make music with, for example, FL Studio, Ableton. And I remember I downloaded FL Studio like 3 times, because the first and 2 times was really, really a new world for me. It was really difficult. But the third time was, I have to do it. I have to do it because I really love dance music. And I started making tech house music, but it was very, very basic.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a very special track by Avicii, Sick Bromance.
Yeah.
When I listened to that piano chords and the vocals, it was right. What's this sound? Let's make some progressive house music.
Yeah.
And yes, I started to make progressive house, learning. And after 2 or 3 years, I jumped into trance. I wanted to make trance music, uplifting trance, orchestral.
So you went back to the music that you fell in love with Paul van Dijk and with Armin.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Yes, that two names was and been my biggest experiences in dance music, for music, for melodies, instruments, etc. So yes.
And it didn't take you a long time before, because you said you started making music in the early 2010s, and your first release was already in, correct me if I'm wrong, a remix for Red Code in 2013.
Yes.
So it was 3 years time.
But dark trance are very basic.
Yeah.
What was my process to learn music?
Yeah.
So I think I was very, I don't know what to say, like to release music faster before to get a big quality sound.
Yeah.
So I count from 2014. From a track I made, it's called Quantum.
Quantum on Monster Force.
Yes, Monster Force. That's my first biggest track.
Yeah. But to be honest, I always think, because I have the same thing when I listen to the stuff that I released in, let's say, 2006, 2005, or even to 2010, in my ears, it sounds so bad. But there's a lot of people that have memories with it, or they still listen to it sometimes. And for example, last week I did Open to Close in Prague, and people were requesting tracks that I'm like, but this is really bad. Why would you want to listen to that? And you're saying the same right now, because correct me if I'm wrong, the first single releases that you did were with Lexstone together.
Yeah.
Andromeda and Cassiopeia. If you didn't do those, you might not have gotten to Quantum.
Yes.
So I think you should never downplay your own music, you should say. At least that's how I see it. And also your first solo singles were with Innovate, Boreal and Stellar.
Stellar, yes.
Yeah. That was without Lexstone. Who's Lexstone and why did you start making music with him or her? And
okay, Lexstone is the alias that I started with Steve Decay.
Ah, okay. So it's a collab with yourself.
Yeah, I like both. What name I want to use in the future, Lexstone or Steve Decay?
Yeah.
So I said, no, my name is Steven, let's use Steve Decay.
So you were collabing with yourself to see which one was better. And then there we go. We go from there on.
Yeah.
That's a cool one. So you stuck with Steve Decay for Innovate. That was the first release then. And then, like I said, in 2014, that must have been like a turning point in your career that you were like, okay, we're getting somewhere. With your release Quantum on Monster Force.
Yes.
I was listening to it yesterday. I was like, oh yeah, that's this one. I still remember that one as well. Do you still remember making that track and then sending it out to Monster and then getting it signed?
Yes, it's a very, very special track because I was testing new instrument, new synthesizer like Spire.
Yeah.
And the sound of Spire in that time was bigger for me because it was very different to Silent, for example.
Yeah.
And I started to bring new ideas for the track, like Tektron's part with drives at the lines and the big melody with the chords to very catchy melody.
Yeah.
And I wanted to sing a track on Monster Instruments in that time. So I said, let's send it. Let's see what happens. So I remember James was the A&R from Monster Instruments in that time.
He's now currently the A&R of Armada.
Yes. And he's in the track. And 1 week before the track was released, Armin played on Stay of Trance, was my first track played by Armin, also by Paul Van Dyk in bigger festivals.
Yeah.
So I said, this track is really, really nice. So let's keep making this kind of music because I love it. I love that kind of uplifting, very, very melodic, but very, very energetic.
A lot of power for the dance floors. Yeah.
Yes.
So not only just floating melodies and stuff like that. And
yeah.
Something powerful for the dance floor.
Yeah, that's what I love.
So, and what happened from that moment on? Did people started like checking you out, checking your music, or did clubs contact you suddenly, or what happened?
Yes, in that moment, the hype was Facebook, I remember. And a lot of people come to Messenger, hey, Steve, I love your track. That's a really, really great tune. Then after this track, I released a track. It's called Eta Carinae.
Yeah. Also a monster, yeah.
Yes, and this track was played by Elian Fila, was the first track played on Future Sound of Egypt. And yes, more people come to me to, hey, you are making really good music. I'm starting to follow in for now. So let's see what happened in the future with your music, with your career. So
yeah,
it was good.
And then in 2016, we go back to Elian Fila because then you signed your first track to Future Sound of Egypt. Musa with Crystal Black.
Yes, I love this track. I really love this track. Very inspired by the classic sounds of Future Sound of Egypt, that kind of blocks and melodies. And yes, really, really love this track.
And then 2017, the first release on the State of Trance.
Yes.
So after 3 years of your first play on the State of Trance, you're already on the label in 2017 with Calypso together with Arxy.
Calypso, yeah.
Tell us about the process. But do you still remember making that tune and figure it out? Like, okay, now I need to send this one to Armada and get it signed to State of Trance.
There is a good story behind this because Armin played in Medellin in that time before we sent the track. So I did all the possible to meet him, to talk with Armin. So I gave him a very small USB with some of my music. And then 3 days after the event, he texted me on
email. Really?
Yes. Hey, Steve. I really like your track. What track are free for the label? And the only one track was Calypso.
Yeah.
and was really good for me because, you know, it's a dream to see and to release music, Normada music.
Yeah.
And yes, I love that track, Calypso.
And because most of the times I feel that when people reach out to artists at gigs and stuff like that, give them a USB, mm-hmm. they will never listen to it.
Exactly. Yes. I was like, really?
Yeah, really?
And it was in the spam folder.
Yeah. Oh, it was in the spam folder? No way.
Yes. And I was, let's check my email. What?
Yeah.
I have to see what's new. And I went to the spam folder and Armin at. And I was, what?
Yeah.
I was really happy. Hey, what's happening?
You made that tune together with Arxie.
Arxie, yes. Yeah.
Tell us about the production process that you worked together with Arxie on making this one.
Yes, he's really nice writing melodies.
Yeah.
So my idea was to make something for a State of Trance label,
mm-hmm.
the style of that time.
Yeah.
Like kind of progressive trance sound. So he just write the main chords, and I made the whole track.
Yeah.
So yes. Yeah.
So most of the things that you told me right now is that you sit down in the studio and make something that fits to the label that you want to be released on, correct?
That's important, yes.
Yeah. Is it more important than making something that you like yourself rather than making something that labels might like? Or do you make music for yourself or do you make it for the labels?
Both.
Both, yeah.
Yes, yes. For example, for myself, uplifting tracks, vocal tracks. I could date with Peter Sanovigio for Armada or mm-hmm. any other label. But for example, with techno, I see like what's releasing the label at the moment. For example, Who's Afraid mm-hmm. or Rebuild Reckoning, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And I make the track focus on that label, but with my son, of course.
Yeah.
Only with my style.
Yeah, because the same year that you released the first tune on State of Trance, you also released the first one on Who's Afraid of 138?
Yes.
Rade. tell us about that one. First of all, what does the title mean, Rade?
Rade is something for India.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, it's, something like that.
I thought it was something Colombian or something.
No. So I made this track a whole weekend. I was testing new sounds too, new melody. And I remember I sent this track to Armin too, direct to Armin. And the next coming days, James come to me, hey, we want to sing this track. And of course, let's do it.
And the year after, we're just going through this chronologically, I see another style switch because this is the common thing with your music because you switch your style and try to see if you can sign that certain track that you produce to a label because Future Son of Egypt Parallels popped up. And I think out of all the music that you released before, I checked on Beatport, all was 140, 138, something yes. like that. And this one was 134. That's why it stood out. Utopia.
Utopia, yes.
Yeah.
It was a progressive trance track.
Yeah, yeah, it was 134 BPM. It was still very progressive. Then you suddenly make a style switch again. Is that just because you want to get that tune signed to Parallels or?
No, because I like what I said before, because I like to try new sounds, new ideas.
Yeah.
Like to take a break of trance music for mm-hmm. for some time, maybe 1-3 months, make it different music.
Yeah.
Yes. That's necessary for me.
No, that was a very good tune. That's one, I really enjoyed that one. And you did some more stuff on that label as well.
Mm-hmm.
But first in 2018, in the end, you did Krishna on Who's Afraid of 138. And
yes.
That was a big highlight, I guess. Collaboration, Paul van Dyk, Aurora.
Oh, yes.
How did that come about? Why did Paul reach out to you? Did you reach out to Paul? Like, hey, do you want to work on something? Or?
Yeah, I made this track. I wanted to send this round of Vendor Records.
Mm-hmm.
So I sent to them. And some days after I send the track, they say, hey, Paul want to collab this track with you. You agree or what you think? So I say, yes, let's do it.
Yeah, what's your favorite DJ and producer from the past?
Yes, yes.
Must have been a special moment.
Well, a special moment with him
yeah.
in Medellin. He played this track, Aurora. in a big event in Medellin, and I was with him in the stage, and was a big atmosphere with the crowd. Was a really, really beautiful moment for my career.
To be on stage with your favorite artist.
Yes, playing,
The music that you created together.
Yes, it was really beautiful.
How did the people in Colombia react to that?
Awesome.
Yeah?
Awesome. I don't have no words.
Well, that's amazing, man. 2018 was also the first release from Critical State, which is now the label that you are A&R of.
Yes.
An owner as well, or just A&R. Tell me a little bit how that relation came about.
Yes, I have my lover partner. His name is Paolo Non. He's DJ and producer too. But I have all the work on the label as A&R. Mm-hmm. So we are working on four labels. Critical Fusion for melodic techno stuff. Critical State for the harder stuff. Critical Uprising for uplifting. And Critical Overload for Psy. But we stopped a bit for Psy at the moment.
Because the focus is more on techno for a lot of people, I guess.
Exactly, yes. yes, we are making some showcase with the label, Label Night, and next weekend. It's going really good.
Okay, awesome. And the next step that you did was collaboration with Alan Watts.
Oh, yes.
How did that come about? You did Hologram, DNA, but also The Future.
The Future,
yeah. DNA is the one that you played on the show, which is still ID. Maybe I just spoiled it right now, but you did two, and then one is coming in the near future.
Yes, DNA is the new one. We wanted to make a techno track with a big melody.
Asset.
Yeah.
How did the first one come about, the Hologram?
Hologram, okay, yes. I really love the style of Alan Watts. His melodies has a big potential, very catching. So we talked in the past about to make a collaboration. So yes, he told me, yeah, let's do it. Mm-hmm. He made the main melody, main chords. I started to make all the whole track with him, of course, 50-50. Mm-hmm. That's the best option to collaborate with other producers. And mm-hmm. Yes, we have a good feeling with making music.
Yeah. How did the relationship come about? Like, did you get in contact with each other, or did you play a show together, or did you just contact each other on? Because in the past you had MSN, you know, you were talking to people all the time. But how does it work nowadays?
Yes, contact via Facebook, Instagram, or WhatsApp.
Yeah, you were like, okay, let's make some music together, and then
yes, that's all.
that's all. That's all. And how do you work together with someone? Because he's in the Netherlands, you are in Colombia. Mm-hmm. He works with Logic. You work in FL Studio still.
Ableton.
Oh, you switched to Ableton?
Yes.
Good job. That's the best.
That's
the best though.
The easiest.
How do you work together on collaboration like that?
Okay. Could be with stems.
Yeah.
Or sometimes he works in Ableton too.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's easy for both.
No? So he switched to Ableton just to make some music with you. That's nice of you, Alan.
I'm sure.
Well, more release on the Hoots Radio 128 came up in the next few years. And also, one thing that I have to point out is that besides starting as Lexstone, switching to Steve Decay, the next chapter came in 2019 on Cold Horror Black Scander.
Yes, that's the project that I told you before.
Yeah. This is more the dark, slower, like techno, deep stuff.
Exactly, like deeper melodies and very, very dark. I always wanted to sing a track on Cold Harbor because I am big fans of the main sound of Cold Harbor sound.
Yeah.
So I noticed they had this Cold Harbor dark. So I said, this is perfect for Scander. So let's try to contact them. Let's try to send these new demos. I sent two tracks and they liked it. And yes, my first album released there and also Mark Sherry's label.
Yeah, Outburst.
Yes.
What is the name Scander? What does it mean?
It's Alexander in another language, but I forget the language. But it's Alexander in another language.
Ah, okay. That makes a lot of sense. So again, you check the label that you want to get signed to. Mm-hmm. You switch up your sound, even made a new alias just to get what you want.
Exactly. Yes.
That's awesome. I think that's a very cool thing to do. You also made a second track with Paul van Dijk in 2020. Impact was Vision X.
Yes.
Was it a different approach to working with Paul? Was it something that was set up on beforehand, or was it the same thing that you sent the demo to Vendit and they said, okay, Paul wants to collab on this?
Yeah, yes, it was the same. First of all, the track was with Visionet.
Yeah.
And he told me, hey, Steve, what if we try to send it to Vendit? And I said, yes, of course, this song is perfect for Vendit. Let's try it. So Paul was making the album for that time.
Yeah.
So yes, was the same. They say, hey, Paul want to work this track with you guys. Mm-hmm. So yes, of course, let's do it.
And then it worked out just fine as well, just like the previous one. That's amazing, man. One of my favorite tracks that you ever released was in 2022, Nectar, Future Sound of Egypt. When I was listening to your music this week, I was like, oh, this is an amazing one. Good memories about that one. And of course, in the years that followed, you had Black Magic and Acid Rain was released earlier this year. And so when I look back at all of this, that's an interesting approach, because I've never seen that approach by a musician before, that you're like, okay, you sit down in the studio, you check your, let's say, bucket list. I want to sign to this label, I want to sign to this label. And then you check the sounds that are hot currently on the label, and then you adjust your sound, give it your own twist, and trying to get it signed. That's how you work, I guess.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And what I noticed is that you release a lot of music. I think because, for example, last week we had someone in the show that didn't release anything this whole year.
Mm-hmm.
And when I looked at what you released this year, already released 7 singles, something like that. How do you keep up the pace with so many releases? How do you make sure that nothing falls through the cracks? What is your strategy in just releasing music?
Okay, I work with music 24/7.
Yeah,
I have my time of course working for Critical Sounds as A&R.
Yeah,
but the whole time I work, like, of course, making my music. So sometimes I'm working one track. It could be 80 or 90% of process. And then I have like new ideas. So I stop the project and I start a new track.
Yeah.
But I never finish the track. I have to finish that.
Yeah.
So every time I have more free time, I go back to that new project and try to finish that project.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the reason why I release a lot of tracks per year.
So when you go to the studio, you have creative sessions. You work quite fast, I guess. You finish it till 70% and then you park it. And then let's say a few weeks or whatever, you come back and then you finish it.
Yes. For example, Epic is a track I released on Who's Afraid.
Yeah.
I started this project in 2019 and I finished it 2 years ago, two years after I started this project, because I said, this track has potential, but not for now.
No.
So let's wait. No rush for finish this track.
Yeah.
So that's what I told you. I started new tracks, could be 10, 20%, but I have to finish this track 2 months or 1 year.
Yeah.
But I have to finish that.
How big is your unfinished folder? How many ideas do you still have laying around?
Oh, I'm working as a techno at the moment. But I want to work with some vocalists.
Okay.
Some catching vocals for that tunes.
Yeah.
And I also have some vocal trance in the making.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know.
You don't know. Many of them.
Yes, many.
I guess, if you're listening and you're an up and coming producer, I guess that's something that you can really learn from this process as well. That you don't have to stare yourself on one project and then get stuck and you just park it. Start something new and then come back even 2 years later. You can still finish it.
Yeah, let's see what's happened.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to force anything.
No.
I guess that's better for the creativity as well, I guess.
Yes.
I have a couple of questions that came in through Instagram. Thank you for submitting those. Oscar Asana Briayo. I hope I pronounced it in the right way. What do you think of the current state of the electronic music in Colombia with Baumfest, etc.?
Baumfest, yeah, it's really, really great. The electronic dance music in Colombia is growing faster, bigger artists, bigger festivals. The local artists is growing too.
Yeah.
So I think it's really, really great.
Do you feel a certain responsibility that you are an artist that is from Colombia and that is being seen by the rest of the world, just like Coma?
Yeah,
exactly. Do you feel like a certain responsibility that you have to carry the scene by yourself? Or
yes, of course, man. Yes, I have that responsibility.
Yeah. And how does it feel to how do people in Colombia look at you two, for you and Coma? Is it like differently from any local artists, or how do they see you?
Something like that, but people support me a lot in Colombia, and yes, you know, they say, hey, we are so proud of you because you're playing outside of Colombia, you're releasing music on biggest label.
Yeah.
Your music has been supported by bigger artists. So yes, that's really good. And it's good for me as an artist to represent my country outside, around the world.
Yeah.
It's like the same case.
It's very special.
Yes, yeah. It's very special, bro.
Yeah, well, I've seen Colombia for the very first time a few weeks ago, like I said. When I played after you, you did a fantastic set before me, and I saw that you had a lot of fans, so that's amazing to see. VidMike wants to know, what is the most difficult thing when you start creating music?
Okay. Choose the right instrument for the drop.
Yeah.
Because sometimes it could be a hard drop. It should be the bass lines or some chin shot, a big lead. But maybe create the chord progression, because what I like from the chord progression is has to be catching in trance music, for example.
So that's the most difficult part for you, is just to find the right chord structure to build a track around.
Exactly. Yeah. The structure is easy. For drops, intros, but the main part is the chord progression.
Yeah.
Should be catching.
That's a hard one indeed, yeah. Then, yeah, Alexa, she wants to know, what has been your most challenging production to date? Which tune was the hardest to finish or to make in general?
No, maybe Nectar.
Yeah?
Yeah, Nectar, because
it's a very complex tune, yeah.
Yes, I remember I talked with Fadi in Medellin. Yeah. He told me, when you send this track, I said, what? This is Steve Decay?
Yeah.
Yeah, I say, yes, man, because I wanted to taste new sound with some new synthesizers.
Yeah.
And like to mix melodic techno stuff, trance stuff, and psy baseline and stuff into a track. So
everything just combined in here.
Exactly. So,
that was very complex. But it's, like I said, it's one of my favorite ones that you ever created. So
thank you, man.
More of those, please. Even though it was very hard to finish and complicated to create. Elena69 Luca wants to know, with who would you like to collaborate this year, and what is the new project about?
Okay. I finished a new track with Alan Watts, the third track.
Yeah. Coming soon on Who's Afraid of One Trade.
Yes, exactly. DNA. And also a new track with Indecent Noise for my label Critical State.
But who is on top of the list? Who do you want to work with? Like, if you could work with any artist in the world, who would it be?
Ah, who?
Yeah.
Could be Armin, why not?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, or Hardwell, because I really love his new sound, dark sound at the moment.
Yeah.
Alien Fila.
Yeah, you have something on Revealed also coming,
yes,
right?
Yeah, yes.
On the label of Hardwell.
Yes, exactly.
Was that one of those moments again that you were like, okay, I love the sound that Hardwell is playing right now? And Hardwell was so far ahead of everyone, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
When he did his Ultra set 2 years ago, everybody was like, why is he playing such hard techno? And now everybody is playing that hard techno sound.
Exactly, yes. No, I love the new sound of Revealed recording, that big room techno.
Yeah.
And I say, I really love the big room sound of the past EDM, that bigger leads.
Mm-hmm.
So I say, I can try it. I can try to make this kind of techno. Of course, incorporate trans melody in the breakdown.
Because that's what Reveal does also, yeah.
Exactly, yes. And melody in the breakdown, but with organic sounds, for example, from Diva.
Mm-hmm.
I really love that kind of leads, synths, like melody techno stuff.
Yeah.
And yes, that's the main idea with my techno of nowadays. So yes, I have some new releases on Reveal Recorders in the next coming months.
So more stuff coming on Reveal.
Yes, yes.
Amazing. That's awesome. Well, I think we can learn a lot of stuff from the way how you approach music. Mm-hmm. Last question. Daniela wants to know, you have a lot of tattoos. What is the most precious one? This one is for the people watching on video stream, because you have a lot of, to be honest, you have a lot of really cool special tattoos, but which one is the most special to you?
Maybe this, because I am big fan of Universe.
Yeah.
I really love Universe. So this is a guy opened the window and suddenly he seemed the universe.
Yeah.
So yes, this is perfect. I want to fill up the
sleeve.
Exactly.
Maybe she's called Chantaz. He's a specialist at that. Well, thank you so much for answering all these questions, and we look forward to seeing a lot more music from you. Of course, on Who's Fader on Jay Label, but also I'm very curious what's going to come on Reveal as well.
Yes.
And keep up the good work, and I hope to see you again very soon in Medellin.
Thanks. Of course. Welcome.
Thank you. And thank you so much for listening to this State of Trance podcast. We hope to see you again very soon for a new one. Ciao.
Bye.
Thank you for tuning in. Check all previous episodes on YouTube or your favorite podcast portal.